is we're not just going to go and adopt this, that there was some discussion to be had around the, and some understanding to be set forth before we consider adopting then. Mr. Charles Reed, I believe, is going to do that for us.
Yes, that's right. So Charles has just a short presentation. This is a first of a handful of local agency management programs for various counties in the region that this board will be asked to approve. And so we wanted to give this presentation just to provide some context for the action that you're being asked to take.
Well, thank you. That's right, in a nutshell. Charles Reed, I'm Senior Water Resource Control Engineer at the Water Board. I'm giving the staff presentation for this. As Matt said, it's going to be a fairly short presentation. We just wanted to give you an idea of what these this LAMP approval process is like, because we expect to see a couple other, both Mendocino and Sonoma County, in fairly short order. So we'll be back before you again, I think within a few months, going over those local agency management programs for those counties. So this is the outline of the presentation I plan to give today. I've spoken about the on-site system policy a number of times before the board, so I'm not going to go into much detail about that, but I wanted to kind of give you an overview just so you kind of refresh your memory a little bit in the context of this LAMP resolution approval. I'll talk a little bit about LAMPs, a little bit about how the development process goes, some of the specifics of the Humboldt County LAMP, and finally I'll talk about public participation, and I'll finally give you our staff recommendation. So the slide is here. It gives kind of the rough timeline as it relates to LAMP approval for the on-site system policy. As you're probably aware, the statewide policy was adopted in 2012. It became effective a year later. This regional board incorporated, in accordance with the on-site system policy, the statewide policy into our basin plan, and that was done in 2015. And one of the requirements in the on-site system policy is that if a local agency wants to opts to have a tier two program that has a local agency management program, that they needed to submit that draft program to us by 2016, May 13th, 2016. And finally, they needed to have that program approved by either the executive officer or the regional board by May 13th, 2018, just a few short months away. So the statewide on-site system policy is a tier-based policy, tier-structured policy based on risk. And the state board has made a finding that they think on-site systems are best regulated at the local level by local regulatory agencies. And in that vein, the first two tiers are tiers that are overseen by the local agency. The first tier, Tier 1, is for relatively small systems, less than 3,500 gallons a day. Tier 1 in the on-site system policy contains very prescriptive requirements, not unlike a lot of the requirements in our former basin plan. If an on-site system can meet the requirements in Tier 1, it's reduced to a very low threat discharge. Tier 2 is the on-site system policy allows some local agencies or any local agency to have our alternative on-site system requirements to those in the prescriptive requirements in Tier 2 or in Tier 1. This is usually done because site conditions in some counties are very constrained, such that Tier 1 requirements are really impossible to meet. So this gives the local agencies an opportunity to develop a program to be able to still continue to approve on-site systems with different standards, but still meet the objective of the policy, which is to protect water quality. Tier 3 is a tier that applies to on-site systems near impaired water bodies. The management program for these systems are set forth in a advanced protection management program, which is incorporated or can be incorporated into a local agency management program as well. The on-site system policy includes default requirements for on-site systems in Tier 3, but it also provides some alternatives for local agencies to provides some alternatives to the default standards in Tier 3. The first alternative is to have an advanced protection management program established as part of a TMDL. You're probably thinking, where else would we be doing something like that? And the Russian River, a pathogen TMDL, is an example of where we're establishing an APMP as part of the TMDL. A second alternative, and from a regional board workload perspective, is the preferable one, is the local agencies themselves can come up with the special provisions similar to the kind we're using for the Russian River pathogen TMDL, and have those proposed and adopted through their local agency management program. And that's what we're here today to approve, the LAMP that includes for Humboldt County, that includes special provisions for Tier 3. Tier 4 is a tier that is for that outlines the procedures for dealing with corrective actions. These requirements are included in a local agency management plan or management program. In most of the LAMPs, the counties have a fairly extensive detailed program for dealing with repairs and replacements. Finally, Tier 4, it applies to all existing systems in the state that are less than 10,000 gallons a day, that are not high strength, low strength, and that are not in Tier 3 as a near an impaired water body, or in Tier 4 in corrective action. I think maybe it's important to note for existing systems, if they're not under 10,000 gallons a day, then they're subject to waste discharge requirements or waivers of waste discharge requirements by the regional board. So any existing system that's over 10,000 gallons a day should be submitting to us a report of waste discharge. So the purpose of the LAMP is to allow local agencies to establish alternative standards to Tier 1, which they find difficult to meet because of local site conditions. The LAMP will include standards for siting, design, operation, and construction, as does Tier 1. But what the local agency is allowed to do under Tier 2 that they're not under Tier 1 is also to have requirements for maintenance, operations, monitoring. They're also allowed under Tier 1 to issue variances of minimum standards, which they can't do in Tier 1. They can also have a policy for repairs in Tier 2, which they can't do in Tier 1. So in exchange for that additional authority to regulate on-site systems, the local agencies are required under the policy to implement a water quality assessment program. Under that program, they're supposed to report to us the general operational status of on-site systems within their jurisdiction and assess the impact of on-site systems on surface water and groundwater. They are required to do some reporting to us annually. They're supposed to they are required to submit to us information about the number, the location, and of the permits they've issued and any of the variances they've issued in accordance with those permits. They're also supposed to provide us a summary of their water quality assessment for the previous year. They're also required to submit a report to us every 5 years, letting us know of any changes in their program, so we can make the changes that we need to make in our approval. LAMPs also may include special provisions for on-site systems near impaired water bodies. This is a case where Humboldt counties is a case where that is included. They may also include oversight agreements. In the state of California, usually it's common for the oversight agency for on-site systems to be the county health departments, and that's true for Humboldt County. But it can be other local agencies like special districts or incorporated cities. So what happens most throughout the state is the county health department will have an agreement with another local agency incorporated city, usually, to oversee septic systems within the county jurisdiction. So the process we're going through today, or you're going through today, to consider the resolution is really the culmination of a couple different separate processes. The first is a local process. After the on-site system policy went into effect, many, I would like to say all of the counties within the North Coast, got on the ball right away and started to develop and repackage their existing programs so that they can comply with the policy. So that entailed local meetings, and in the case of the Humboldt County, they had two local informational meetings in the spring of 2015. That was followed by a seven or eight month public process for receiving comments and addressing comments from the public. After that local public comment period was completed, they submitted a draft to us for our review. And we worked with the local agencies for quite a long time, actually, to iron out any of the details to make sure that what they were proposing to us was consistent with the on-site system policy. And those discussions concluded in May 2017. That was followed by the approval by the Board of Supervisors for Humboldt County, approving the final LAMP that is before you today for your consideration. And the final piece of this project or this process is where we are today for you to consider approving or disapproving the local agency management program. So we concluded, obviously, that the Humboldt County LAMP met the minimum requirements of the on-site system policy. I also have a bullet here, kind of calling out the one thing that's more unusual about this LAMP in that the county has taken the effort to establish some special provisions for the four impaired areas within their jurisdiction. That's Clam Beach, Leffenholtz Beach, Moonstone County Park, and the Trinidad State Beach. The on-site system policy says that the default requirement in the on-site system policy is that on-site systems within 600 feet of these impaired water bodies, which are listed in detachment two of the on-site system policy, need some sort of special requirements. What the Humboldt County has done here is they've not only established special requirements for areas near these four listed beaches, they've also established these provisions and extended these provisions all the way up the watershed. All the major tributaries to these local beaches are also subject to the provisions of this APMP. The Humboldt County has also established some oversight agreements with other local agencies, or actually incorporated cities in this case, Arcata, Trinidad, Rio Del, and Ferndale. A couple of cities they're still working on, Fortuna and Blue Lake. Those are the two other incorporated cities in Humboldt County, but the county expects those agreements to be in place shortly. So this resolution was open for public comment from January 9th through February 6th. We fortunately only received one comment letter because I didn't give myself much time to respond to comment letters. And this was from Humboldt Baykeeper. And as it turns out, the comment was really more of a misunderstanding of wording in the LAMP. And I've since talked with them. And you also have the our official written response to their comments. I think that was handed out to you this morning.
It was.
So that issue is resolved.
Thank you, Charles. John.
I want to, even though they're not here, thank Humboldt County for progressively really going forward with this. And by going up the watershed, they will hit political controversy. They have to be a couple pockets there that aren't too in favor of government regulation, period. I did want to say, though, first of all, the impaired areas, they're the worst beaches in the entire state of California. So something definitely needs to be done. So it's not like a small impairment. It's the worst in the state of California in a very rural area. But I think part of the significance is this is more efficient, it's faster, and it overcomes the TMDL weakness on implementation. And I think these types of alternatives to the fairly rigid TMDL process or as supplements to it is the wave of the future. And so I really hope we keep thinking to reformulate some of these boxes. And we have certain items we don't have the resources to get to in 10, 15 years. So if we can have local solutions come up, and then all we're really is a critic, are they good enough? I think it's really has a lot of merit. So I want to thank you for going ahead with this. I do want to say that I think it has implications to greater flexibility in either the TMDL process or as an alternative to that process. And I want to clarify, because someone got after me after the last meeting, that I didn't like TMDL. TMDL was one of the best things and best programs ever, but there are problems with it. There's funding issues with it. And there are other regulatory solutions that may be superior in selected circumstances. So thank you for doing this.
I'm in agreement with you 100%. I'd like to also thank Humboldt County staff for taking that approach. They didn't have to do it. You know, they could have sat back and waited for us to do a TMDL or and that could have been years from now. So they're really taking the bull by the horns and trying to make some changes earlier on. And I think that's a great approach.
Mr. Giusti.
Thank you, Mr. Charles. Thank you. Very thorough as always. Just a point of clarification for me. So you have the four oversight agreements with the various cities, Arcata, Rio del Trinidad, for the places you put up there. Because of impairment, well, I'm wondering, help me understand. So the Eel River is impaired, maybe for other reasons. How come Garberville and Redway and some of those other communities aren't included under an oversight agreement? And so what is the impairment that caused the decision to have the oversight agreement where it's been identified?
Well,
and how is that different from other impairments?
Well, I'm assuming that Garberville and Redway are unincorporated, or those agreements would be in place.
Okay, I got you.
Because automatically, if they're unincorporated, the county has oversight over those.
Gotcha.
And the impairments for the beaches are based on monitoring data, and I think.
Well, I can stop you. I mean, you've actually answered my question.
Okay.
So the municipalities you identified are incorporated cities, so those are standalone agreements.
Right.
That answered my question.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Mr. Reed.
Hello.
Thanks for your presentation. In reviewing the LAMP, I had a question about the APMP. I know the OTS policy has a sort of default 600-foot, and this particular LAMP for the APMP includes a 200-foot area on each side of the impaired water bodies. And so I'm wondering if you can speak to it either specifically with this LAMP or even more generally with regard to the process of these LAMPs. What goes on there when considering the default 600 feet versus some other width of buffer that's selected by the counties?
Well, I can't attest to the technical basis for Humboldt County using 200 feet, but I can say that the 600 feet in the on-site system policy and the and what we're proposing for the Russian River team deal, for example, are really more conservative, and Humboldt County in this case expanded their area of investigation well beyond the impaired areas. If they wanted to be in strict compliance with the on-site system policy, they could have limited their investigations to 600 feet or even less from those beaches. But they've expanded it up the watershed, which we think is really appropriate. It was really their choice to use 200 feet. And that doesn't mean we have lost our authority to, as part of a TM deal or other process later on, to expand that 200 feet distance if we think it's necessary, if we think the 200 feet is inadequate and actually not seeing the sorts of results that we would hope to see. Does that answer your question?
And to be clear, that 200, that's the APMP distance, correct? That's buffer distance.
That's Humboldt County's APMP distance.
Charles, two other questions. I see that Mendocino and Sonoma County are in queue for May. What about Siskiyou and Del Norte and Trinity?
What about them? That's a good question.
Because they have this May 18th deadline out here as well.
Right. It's impossible, really, for them to meet that deadline. So they're going to have to default to a Tier 1 until such time as they present to us and can get approved a Tier 2 program. They've been very, very, very slow on the ball to get these moving ahead. I think it has to do with lack of staff. And from from my perspective, if I think that lack of that the inability to present and prepare a Tier 2 LAMP for our consideration suggests maybe they don't have the staffing to actually implement a Tier 2 program.
So, Charles, does the policy itself then envision then that the default is and the policy had that in there already?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it doesn't leave them completely without a policy or without a mechanism here to deal with things.
No.
There's
no.
A
but
default mechanism.
Yeah. And the minimum requirements and prescriptive standards in Tier 1 are probably easier to comply with out in Siskiyou County and Trinity County. Del Norte County maybe not. And I know they're we've been in discussions with Del Norte County about how to get a Tier 2 program approved. We haven't heard much from Trinity. Siskiyou County, we're meeting with next week, I believe. It's kind of fallen off their radar a little. Although we have reminded them about this deadline, I think they'll be a little slower, but they'll ultimately have a Tier 2 program, as will Del Norte County. And Trinity County as well, when at some point in the future.
Very good. Thank you. Any other questions for Charles? Did you have a speaker card? Charles, let's take this. Actually, let me ask here, because this is a consent item, and we've kind of opened this up a bit. Can I ask Nate, are we going beyond where we want to go? Are we going where no man's gone before?
I wouldn't go that far, but it's since there's now been a discussion and there is public comment, it's an action item by the board.
But that's with consequence only that we are having a public discussion here.
Public discussion.
When we adopt this, we are going to adopt it as an not an uncontested item, but as an action item, correct?
As an action item, correct. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't, that we're not going to adopt it as an uncontested
item? No, that it's on agenda as an uncontested item.
Right, I understand
item,
that.
We would just adopt it as normal.
Okay, yeah. Unless there's an objection
unless
by the public.
There's an objection
so
by the public.
Let's hear from the public.
It's Brenda Edelman. No pressure, Brenda.
I just had a few questions. I knew nothing about this item before I walked in the door today. Of course, I'm very curious because it is a predecessor to what ended up happening in the Russian River, of course, and especially as far as the lower Russian River. And so I have studied these issues a bit. And my questions, I'm just wondering what kind of evidence was provided, whether there were a large number of excessive E. coli readings, whether Bacteroides was used as part of the consideration for indicating the extent of the problem. And I'm just curious as to the types of evidence and whether the communities affected have similarities to the Lower Russian River in terms of the density and the number of people and the activities that tend to occur. And I just was wondering if a little more information could be provided to respond to those questions.
Mr. Charles Reed, come on down. Thank you for that question, Brenda, by the way.
Well, I don't think I can, I really can't address the monitoring data that justifies the impairment at those beaches. I haven't really followed that. I know that it was determined and is on the attachment two, listed on attachment two, because Humboldt County staff at the time attachment two and the on-site system policy was adopted believed that on-site systems were a contributor. Just, I think, given their knowledge of the watershed, the fact that there were old systems in close proximity to creeks. I don't know what the level of, you know, I can't really explain any more about the kinds of organisms that were used, whether Bacteroides was done or not, or if it's just, or what the basis for the impairment is. So I can't help there.
Mr. John Corbett.
I mean, I think we did authorize the research study, and part of it was to find the location and sources of the contamination. And so, I mean, this isn't without any study. I believe not only has it been studied, but we were a funder of those studies. And so, I certainly know in some of those watersheds, we have funded the studies. I mean,
So that's definitely correct. So as far as the data that went into the original listings, 303D listings, yeah. I too don't recall off the top of my head whether it was which fecal indicator bacteria measures were used and whether Bacteroides was included. I don't think Bacteroides was included at the time of those listings. All of the assessment is reported in the integrated report, which is part of the public record. If the board is, you know, truly interested in the answer to this question, we can ask our integrated report queen, who's in the office today, and we can get a specific response if that's needed. So that's as far as the answer to what was the data that led to the listing of the impairments in the first place. And then what John was referring to, you're absolutely right. It was a priority project under the triennial review. So we've been developing the studies to evaluate the pathogen impairments of these Humboldt beaches. And for that assessment, we are absolutely using both fecal indicator bacteria and Bacteroides analyses.
I wanted to make a comment.
Mr. Bedroy.
It'd be good to know whether these sources are avian, seabird sources, or man-made. And as far as difference between areas, they get a lot more rainfall than we do. And that material carries quickly and for long it's dragged along a long surface area.
Okay. Any other further questions, comments? And by the way, Brenda, so I believe that there is underlying data here. Just wait here, Charles, if you can. It sounds like there's an underlying data set that is there for the original 303D listing. It sounds like additional information is available. Might I suggest that you can, or we can, request some information that's further from the queen of the 303D list, which I believe is Catherine Carter, correct? And that if that information could be shared also with Brenda, that would be wonderful. This was an uncontested item, really, to do a lamp, and that we went a ways down the road. But I think the point was here is that we have several lamps coming that Humboldt County is not uncomplicated, but certainly the Russian River, certainly parts of Mendocino, bring some of these same elements. And I think your point here today, Charles, as I understand it, was somewhat to set the stage that we have some of these coming. This was a normal course and outcome from the OTS policy, and that here we are.
Right. There are a couple of separate processes involved here. One is the listing process. Yeah. Second is the LAMP development process, the local LAMP development process, which we had some input into, but it's really a local process to develop the LAMP and get it approved at the local level. So, and this process you're here to do today is just to approve or disapprove that LAMP.
Yes. John, did you have any other
questions? Oh, no, I just was getting ready to take the honor of moving.
You go for it, man.
The most discussed consent calendar item I've ever encountered on this board. So I move the consent calendar.
Well, it's not consent anymore. It's actually, it's an action item. So.
That's what I tried to ask before.
This
okay.
is fully an action item. So please revise your motion.
Yeah.
Right there. You got to read it out, man.
Right. So I'm going to
right there,
move that we adopt.
Oh, sorry. It's that one right there.
Resolution number R1-2018-005 to consider adoption of proposed Regional Water Quality Control Board resolution approving the local agency management program LAMP for the County of Humboldt.
Fantastic. Well done. Sometimes it takes two.
Second.
Great. Will you please read the roll?
Board Member Quinto.
Aye.
Board Member Hart.
Aye.
Chairman Doran.
Aye.
Board Member Cabilia.
Aye.
Board Member
Hughes. Aye.
Fantastic. Okay, before we take on the next item, we're going to take a 10-minute break. We'll be back here at 10 o'clock. We'll take on